The unsurpassed penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So I'd like to welcome everyone. We're very happy to see you, very happy to have you here. And I think it'll be a nice retreat, so just nice to see all our old friends. So, this is a... Most of you have been to this kind of retreat before, but in case you haven't, we're going to do the... Each day we're going to have one Dharma talk. And since it's me, they're not going to be very, very long, because long talks are not my long suit. And we do it during meditation, during the meditation period that comes after the work period in the morning, so around about 10:45, 11 o'clock, whatever that is, we will have a talk as we sit, which is a nice way to do it, because it's kind of direct. Feel free to move. Please don't think that you're going to have to sit there in pain and not move. Please feel free to move around if you need to, because I don't go on at great length, but it's distracting if you're in a lot of pain, so please feel free to, at any meditation period actually, but especially when we have our Dharma talks during retreats, feel free to move. All of us will be in here together, monks and lay trainees, and if there are monks working in the kitchen who need to leave, after the talk I think it's fine just to sort of slip out. And we'll just finish up the meditation period. But if you need to leave to get lunch out, just slip out quietly. But I think if we're all in here together, it'll be easier for reasons of sound, whatnots, and all that. And it's kind of nice to be all together. So we'll do that. I seem to be falling apart here. But maybe if I filled this up, that'll help. We have formal sanzen in the afternoon. It's not as formal as all that, actually. It sounds awfully formal, but it's not really. We don't have bells and gongs and sticks and barking or any of that kind of stuff. It's just, you know, it's just me, you know. So don't be nervous. But it helps if you have your question or whatever it is boiled down, because we're going to be going through about 15 people in the afternoon. So it's not, you know, half an hour each is not going to get very far. So it's just a couple of minutes, really. But it's really helpful to boil down the spiritual question that you are working with. You don't have to think about it. Don't be thinking about it too much. What am I going to ask? Should I ask this? No. Maybe I'll ask that. That sounds dumb. Maybe I'll ask the other thing. Don't think so. You know, that's just misery. Just blurt it out. Whatever it is, it cannot be as dumb as some of the questions I have asked, believe me, and some of my dumbest seeming questions were the absolute best. So don't have to worry. Just blurt it out, whatever it is, or whatever is on your mind, it's just fine. And if it's something you need to talk about at more length, it could be either me or likely one of the other monks. We still have normal sanzen, formal sanzen and normal sanzen. We have both. So, there'll be plenty of opportunity, I think. This is not a scholarly retreat. I am not a scholar. We're going to be talking about great master Hongzhe's Cultivating the Empty Field. But it's not a scholarly enterprise from my point of view. It's more about practice. Because actually, his instructions are about practice. They're not about introspection and noumenons and phenomenons and all that, you know. It's training. It's actually what we do. I chose this text because I like it. Not because I understand it, or I'm smart, or I have some kind of great expertise on it, but I just happen to like it. And I've liked it, I've loved it dearly for years. And in a moment of madness last year, when I had to figure out, you know, what am I going to talk about for my retreat next year, I thought, let's do this one. Let's do Cultivating the Empty Field. So here I am, and I'm stuck with it. But I really like it. And I'm not... you know, scholarly, not especially wise. I'm not a great meditator. I don't know much about Hongzhe. but I like it. And I think the fact that we all love our meditation practice, Great Master Hangzhe is the kind of almost like the grandfather of our tradition in many ways, of our meditation practice, because as we know, Great Master Dogen was greatly influenced by him. And so we can love his work too. So whether you've read it or not, whether you have any particular relation to it or not, the fact that we are all meditating, doing our best to meditate, doing the training to sit still, and practice silent illumination meditation, as he calls it, whether we feel we're good at it or not, here we are. This is all we need. It's just to do it here together. And we'll all read it. We won't read the whole thing. We'll just read a bit of it. I just thought I'd go through a few of the practice instructions, as he calls them. And then we get the flavor of it. And it just gives us the taste so we can enjoy his teaching. And that gets nice. That's what you want to do. So, Cultivating the Empty Field. I finally bought my copy yesterday. I actually had a copy. It turned out it was the previous edition. And I realized yesterday, somewhat belatedly, that it's been revised. So I'm slightly out of date. However, I will try and update myself so we're all, as it were, on the same page. But it's actually very minor revisions. But it was slightly daunting. I thought, oh my God, it's a different book, okay? But actually, it's fine. It'll be fine. So, it's actually a really nice book. The translation is by Reverend Taigen Layton, who is in the lineage of Suzuki Roshi, Soto Zen. So he's a Soto Zen practitioner. He's a priest, ordained. I've met him. He's a very, very nice person. And his translation may not be perfect. It's a little awkward in places. But there is a sincerity and a warmth that come through. He's really trying to convey Great Master Hongzhe's text in a very sincere and modest way. And I think that really comes through. So I like it, and we'll just do our best with it. There's a really good introduction to the text, which I recommend you read. Some of it's a bit scholarly, some of it's a bit erudite, some of it I find baffling, but and if you find it just confusing, miss that bit. But the bit about his life is interesting, how he relates to Dogen, how he relates to our tradition, and some of the talking about the meditation, what Reverend Taigen writes about the meditation practice is really, I think, helpful. So I recommend it. So I'll just say a few words about Great Master Hongzhe in case you have not read the introduction. You have no idea who he is. He is... in a sense, like the brother of one of our ancestors. He's the Dharma brother of Choro Seryo. And their master was Tangka Shijun, who's one of the masters of our tradition. They came sometime after Tozan. And Hongzhe was born 1091, died in 1157. So he lived till he was about 66 years old, which is fairly old for those days. He didn't have a greatly, you know, exciting and glorious dramatic career like Queen Aang. You know, Queen Aang had the, you know, sort of romantic thing. He was, you know, woodcutter's son, becomes greatly enlightened even before he's a monk and so forth. Great Master Hongzhe was a really normal person. He became a monk when he was 11. He was a very highly intelligent child, greatly educated in Confucian and other classical Chinese texts. And became a monk at 11 years old, which wasn't uncommon then, and trained with a number of masters. And then he met his teacher when he was about 23, and trained with him until his teacher died. His teacher was Tangka Shijun, and he stayed with him until he died. And they went to stayed in various temples. So he moved around quite a bit. And then after his teacher died, he continued to train with various masters, some of them quite famous. And then eventually he ended up at Tendozan, which was eventually Tendo Nyojo's temple. But when Hongzhe went there, it was just a small place. It was messy, it was falling apart, it was little, and he built it up, rebuilt the whole temple. And a lot of people came to train with him because of his great teaching. And he ended up with 1,200 monks. So he had to build this temple with 1,200 monks. So he wasn't just sitting in his empty field, you know, being in samadhi. He was working, you know. So he must have been a really practical person, down to earth, able to organize all this, and had all these people come to study with him. So, and then, you know, so it wasn't super dramatic. It was just he was a good teacher. And he lived on this temple for almost 30 years, and then finally, but just before he died, lived on the mountain, never left the temple, until just before he dies, he goes down to the bottom, goes to visit all the people who've supported the temple, the, you know, government officials and the lay patrons, and thanked them all for their support. Then he went home, took a bath, put on clean clothes, went to the meditation for the Buddha Dharma Hall, gave his last talk, gave his last farewell poem, wrote a letter asking his so-called rival, the Rinzai master at the time, to take care of his affairs, and died. Very tidy. Just, we would like to do this, to just, you know, get all our affairs in order, take a bath, change our clothes, and go to the meditation hall and die, you know. But most of us probably won't end up quite that way. But it's kind of impressive. And he was a really, you know, remarkable person, as we see from his writing, you know, or his teaching, actually. Somebody else wrote it down. So, whoops. Great Master Dogen really liked Hongzhe. He wrote about him a number of times in the Show Begins. He wrote a whole chapter about one of his poems, The Acupuncture Needle of Zazen. And he said Tenjin Nyojo, his master, who of course became the abbot of Hongzhe's temple later, about three generations later, was deeply devoted to Hongzhe and called him my old Buddha. What did he call him? Something like my old Buddha Wanxi, or Hongzhe. And he never talked like that about anybody else, but Tenjin Nyojo had this affectionate way of referring to Hongzhe, my old Buddha Hongzhe. It's really sweet. There's this kind of nice familial way that monks sometimes talk about other monks, you know, especially, you know, the old Chinese monks. It's a very nice kind of brotherly or just friendly way. So they deeply respected Hongzhe because he passed on this teaching of silent illumination meditation. And this is the important thing, the practice, the meditation practice that we do. And the way we put it into daily life is not just the sitting, but how we practice it in daily life, how we treat other people and ourselves, how we deal with life, how we do our work, everything. It all comes into that. And old Hongzhe kind of paved the way for us. Because Dogen was greatly influenced by him, and Tenjin Nyojo also. Right, the book. As I said, the introduction's got a lot of information, some of it quite erudite. Don't worry about it if you don't, it's not your cup of tea. But I, you know, if it is, I think it's helpful. Don't worry about the scholarly aspects too much, and you should find them helpful. The most important thing is just to sit still. Listen to Hongzhe's teaching, or read his Hongzhe's teaching. We're going to try and give you enough time to actually read, so you're not endlessly being talked at or doing something. And just let it sink in, and don't worry about it, kind of thing. Don't try to understand it too much. Just let it sink in. There's things about the five ranks and other things. The five ranks, I'm sure they're great. I, myself, find them a little confusing. I think they explain something that is actually quite straightforward. So I think I'm going to leave out the five ranks. I'm not going to worry about them. And but if they're explained in here, and if you want to, you know, if it makes sense to you, great. If it doesn't, don't worry. I think it can actually have a complicating effect. Things like that. This is the only text of Hongzhe's work that I know of that has all these, what you call, practice instructions. There's little bits of it in other places, in some of Master Sheng Yen's works. There's little sections, but some of the little instructions. And they're translated somewhat differently. And you may They have a different, slightly different aspect, but the flavor is the same. I haven't done comparisons. I think I can be confusing. I've just stuck with this one, Reverend Taigen's. Otherwise, you say, he says this and he says that. And because the translations are somewhat different, you can just kind of get confused. And so I prefer just to stick with one. But every now and then, I refer to something Master Sheng Yen says or to something that he translates, because it's actually quite good translations. They just are not complete. There's just a few of them. So we're not going to go through the whole book. We're just going to go through a few of the practice instructions. But that gives you the sense of his work. And I think it gives you the flavor. And it gives you also some of the explanations of some of the terms he uses. There's a lot of things that symbolize things, like the moon symbolizes Buddha nature, flowing of water, clouds and mountains. They all have meanings, apart from their regular meanings. And some of them we'll go through. And so when you read the rest of them, or the other parts of the book, you can kind of have the flavor of that. And what it does, it just gives us a taste of it so we can have access, more access to the text and to his teaching. Some of us may feel we understand it, and some of us may feel we don't understand it. Don't worry if you feel you don't really understand it, because, in fact, all we need to do is to kind of sit still with it and let it kind of trickle in. Trying to understand something, I find, is like striving. It's like striving to meditate, and you just get in your own way. If I'm trying too hard to understand something, I kind of obstruct myself, especially if I get anxious about it. If I have to explain something and I feel I don't really understand it well, I get all worried. I get completely confused. I can't understand it at all. If I just let it all go and just trust, it begins to open up. I think it's like that. Like that with anything, actually. If you just let go of thinking we don't understand or we do understand, and just let it open up for us, then it does. And I find often, I'm reading something, I think, what's he saying here? What are they saying here? And something opened, I think, that makes sense. And like a door opens. And there it is. But trying to understand too hard of the brain doesn't seem to work. It seems to work better to just trust it in a certain sense and to just open up to it and let it speak to us. Somehow that seems to work better. And one nice thing about having the talks when we meditate is that it's easier to do that. It's easier just to let it kind of fall in and not try to figure it out too much. And so that's one reason. Actually, if I had the sense I was born with, I would just simply read his stuff and not try to explain anything. However, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to talk about it. So. And in order to actually appreciate him, I think we have to do the exact thing he's telling us to do, is to just sit still and step back and focus within in a certain sense. Just kind of not push against it, but just step back and let it sink in. In order to train, in order to meditate, in order to realize the truth, we don't have to be somebody special. We don't have to be especially wise. We don't have to know anything. All we have to do is do it, actually. There's nothing special about it. We just do it. And not worrying about whether we understand it or not, but just simply to let it sink in. So, if you're a person who gets worried and thinking, well, not none of us, hardly, ever, get worried thinking, everybody else understands this except me. You know, I think all of us have this arise. Everybody must understand this except me. I have no idea what's going on. Everybody else is sitting perfectly still except me. I'm the only person who's worried about everything. I think, actually, we're all pretty much alike. So, just to allow ourselves to get out of our own way and simply to sit still with Hongzhi's work. It's a matter of faith because we all have the bright, boundless field, as he calls it. I mean, all we have to do is trust it. We don't have to go hunting it. We don't have to, you know, strive to find it. All we have to do is trust it's there and sit still as best we can with our little crazed brain and our maybe, you know, poor old body, poor young body, and just do our best. And if we all do it together, I think is a great blessing. So, again, welcome. I'm really happy to see you all. And we will all do it together. Thank you.